understanding could be expanded, that we can learn better how to care for each other, how to bless each other, how to edify your church. I pray for Chad. I pray that you would give him a special enabling to share and communicate and help us to hear and be able to understand. Bless this service for your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah, I was pretty adamant that tonight is a topic I'm glad to share. This is an area that I've poured quite a bit of effort and energy into learning about walking with people and caring for people. So I'm glad to share. It doesn't fit exactly in the message category. So hopefully we can take from it something to grow. To grow with. I thought I'd start though this evening with a story. The other day I opened the overhead door on the shop and it wouldn't go back down. I had to get a ladder out and pull the emergency release and put the door down because it is cold and it was heated in the shop and I couldn't leave the door open and leave for the day. And I called Alpha Building Center, and they said, well, how about we put you on the phone with one of our installers, he'll help you through it. And I had called Dad to ask him who I should call first. He said, well, how about you drive the motorhome forward, then you can stand on top of that. So I'm on top of the motorhome in the shop, working on the opener and talking to this guy, I think named Floyd from Alpha. And I said, I've got power here. I've got some lights blinking in the operator. I said, so you have a LiftMaster 8501? And I said, well, I have a gray box, and it says LiftMaster on it. He said, are you getting solid green on your electric eyes? The safety. And I looked down from the motorhome, and I could see a snow shovel in the way of my electric eye down there on the floor. I said, I think I've got a problem with them reading with each other. Maybe I'll just crawl down and... So I moved my snow shovel and it worked. The door went up and down without a problem. It was pretty simple. But I guess I'm hoping that tonight you're here because you care about your brotherhood. I'm here because I care about my brotherhood. There might be a snow shovel if we get to move out of the way. And maybe that'll be something we can learn. Probably not a lot of rocket science here this evening, but hopefully we can walk forward in talking about caring for each other. So that'll be what we do. I fight with this almost every time. Is the up arrow the right one, Dana, or the down? That way. Okay. The purpose or the goal of sitting with someone in a counseling relationship, in a Christian counseling relationship, is to bring them to union with God. Life is painful. Life presents a lot of problems. People present problems. We've been through pain. But my hope is that we don't try to lift up the counselor or to give you enough tools that you feel arrogant as you sit with somebody to fix them, but that your goal, my goal, is to bring people into union with God. We have really, as a human, created in the image of God, there are basic longings and capacities that kind of all humans share. We have a desire for belonging. If you have to categorize the longings of the heart, they kind of fit into these three. I am pulling largely from material from Larry Crabb and Dr. Dan Allender. Much of it's presented with Life Ministries and Claire Schnupp from NYP. So if you want to do some checking on what I'm bringing, look up the IBC four-stage, three-shift model of Nicetic Christian Counseling. But this is the backstory on this one. Is we have a desire to belong, don't we? We want to know if we're wanted. Pretty core in any child's quest for life is knowing if I am wanted. And the answer that they receive, it produces either I am wanted or I'm not cared for. No one enjoys me. Acceptance or rejection. We have been given worth by our Creator. You are worthy. But you get positive answers to that question and you end up with, I am liked. Or on the opposite, I'm not worth anything. I don't count. I'm not liked. I'm bad. I'm a mistake. We have a desire to accomplish or to have competence. Mark 1:11 states, I am well pleased with you. God does see you as being worth His time. But the message that we get from social media, from the movies that are put out by Hollywood, is that you don't quite have it, right? You end up either with courage or with a feeling of hopelessness. I can do it, I'm adequate, or I'm just a useless failure. I'd like to spend some time this evening taking these pieces apart, if we can. As we look at counseling, sometimes I think that we as Christians, especially conservative Christians, we can look at these basic human needs and it feels a little overwhelming. I'm working with somebody and they just act like they don't have any confidence, and I wonder, well, what's wrong? Or like, why is it that when I tell them, oh, that's a nice car you have, they say, oh, if I have a nice car? Oh, well, I guess, thanks, I don't know. That's a weird thing to say. But we have people that we run into like that, your coworkers or even the person beside you on the bench at church, that then you may say something to them and they respond with a response that just doesn't fit. And so sometimes we as lay people, we'll just, maybe they need some counseling. And I get the impression that sometimes we don't know quite what to think about, the counselor. There can be the idea that the counselor is, he's the professional. This approach to counseling says that the good counselor is a professional qualified to call himself an expert. Like, we'll just send them off to somebody that can take care of it. Sometimes we look at it more through this moral model. It says that the problem is sin, and we need to get serious about obedience. The answer is more confession and more obedience. They've got an issue, and they just need to get it right with the Lord. Well, there may be some sin going on. Or the recovery model. Y'all can read this behind me, can't you? Okay. And this model assumes that we need just a theory of recovery from bad backgrounds. The focus is on, there's no focus on Jesus or becoming like Him. This is more of a psychoanalytic approach. You've heard the names of, Freud and Erickson. Look at what happened before, and then we'll get them to recover over the pain of their past, and maybe they'll be able to get it together. With the the current apostolic reformation, or the new apostolic reformation, we hear a lot more about the deliverance model. You know, there's a level of deep passion, spiritual, which we don't know how to manage. Many people believe the problem is an evil spirit. It must be cast out. The deliverance model kind of comes out with, there's an enemy inside me. Somebody with greater power could cast it out. Well, there's holes in that logic too, right? The medical model tries to take care of problems with medication. Let's go see a doctor, get some medicine. There's a prescription for that. What I bring to you tonight is the relational model. Just getting into some, not quite this simple, but just getting into some supportive relationship with a counselor, a support group. But that you as a group of people have the ability to support and to care for each other better than what we sometimes give ourselves credit for. It's not, there's holes in any one of these six approaches. The professional model says, well, something's broken. The pro could fix it. So that means I'm off the hook. I can't help you. I can't help you, Lynn. I'm sorry. We'll just send you off to somebody that can. The moral model may rely pretty heavily on your preacher or your pastor. Say, well, something's wrong. The leader, the teacher, the preacher, maybe the counselor, he can find the sin and help you get rid of it. The recovery model works a lot with self-esteem. You affirm the person, make them feel better about your bad background, kind of work your way forward. The slide I showed at the very beginning asks us to get back toward a relationship with God, and that's where we want to go. In that, oh, let's see, yes, who is qualified to counsel? That's pretty small type. Sam, I'm sorry. You're trying to see it from back there. Can you see it? Oh, he says he's fine. Emily, you're all right with that? Okay. You can read as I talk. But you are qualified to help someone work through their pain if you've worked with your own pain. We'll talk about that a little more later. There's a lot of problem with trying to help somebody do something that you've not been willing to do yourself. Are you learning from and living out Scripture? Do you know Christ? A person who can be intensely personal with himself and others, is, you need to be willing to talk about what you've gone through. I need to be willing to talk about my pain if I want to help you with your pain. For you or me to sit there and say, I see a problem, now let's fix it, doesn't usually go well. For you to walk with somebody on the journey and be willing to talk about what you're going through goes a much farther. Does the Bible speak to everything? Well, no, actually it doesn't. The Bible was not... It doesn't talk about the color of the carpet or the benches here at Calvary Chapel. It was a decision that you were able to make, right? But the Bible does speak to everything we need to know about it. It speaks to everything we need for healing. Not every exact scenario that you've been through is listed in the Bible, but scenarios similar enough to pull what you need for healing are there. The Bible does deal with what we're dealing with. It also speaks about all we need to know to live life here on earth. It speaks about how to get to heaven and about how to enjoy God more both here and there, right? So the Bible does speak to that. Change takes place in people when there's repentance and cleansing. Good counseling, it's a setting for helping people to be free from what's broken, from what's wounded. Good counseling helps people. Humans are created in the image of God. It's easy for me to believe that when I see somebody as handsome as Junior Stauffer. It's tougher to believe. Never mind, I won't put a name with it. You are created in the image of God. That doesn't have a whole lot to do with your physique. Sorry. It has to do with the capacities that are in you. And I'm going to break it down. I want to break it down in four capacities, if we can. The personal, rational, volitional, and emotional. And I'll put those up here as we go. As a human, you are relationship-oriented. It's a personal capacity. God shares Himself with us. You have the capacity to long for things. Psalm 42:1 talks about panting for water that comes, compared to panting like an exhausted deer. The relationship with God is the only relationship that will fully quench the relational thirst that mankind has. Psalm 63, verse 1. Close, godly friends are the second most important thing in fulfilling relational thirst. Problems arise when we try to satisfy our thirst or our longings from sources that we can control other than sources that God controls Himself. We are rational beings. Yeah, every one of us has the ability to think, to plan, to evaluate. Sometimes we note that ability increases with age. We look at our youth and we say, that wasn't a very rational decision. I don't know. If you're under the age of 27, have you been asked in the last week, what were you thinking? It happens, right? If you're over the age of 27, have you been asked, what were you thinking? Possibly so, right? But we do think, we care about planning ahead. Guys, there are only two directions that you can move, either toward God or away from God. Scripture can penetrate the rational capacity. It's important to know the Bible. As you sit with somebody talking through their problems, it's this capacity of being rational. We're sharing a verse that confronts their erroneous thinking can be pretty helpful. It's because we are thinking people. We are volitional. You guys know the word? Is that a word that you got to use a lot? To be volitional means that you have a choice. Every one of you had a choice about whether or not to be here this evening. I know Dana put a good word in for it this morning, and so you may have felt like you didn't have a choice, but you had a choice. You didn't have to show up here. The choices we make are based on our beliefs, on our feelings. And then lastly, we are emotional. We love and hurt much the same way that God loves and hurts. God has this capacity as well. We've been designed as emotional or feeling beings. The reality, though, is that even though these are maybe presented in that order, that we have longings, beliefs, goals, and emotions, usually, the thing that presents or that comes out on the surface is the emotions. But that's not necessarily the deepest or most core issue going on inside of that person. It actually is just backwards of that. Your emotions are there at the surface, and it's not so hard to evaluate the choices that somebody makes. Oh, you bought a Ford instead of a Chevy. Well, that's because you're messed up. Or what? Whatever. We have these arguments, but these are really, think about somebody's surface or their skin, their presentation. The emotions are there towards the top. And then their actions, the choices they've made based on their beliefs, but deep inside are the longings, are their desire for competence, worthiness. God made you to be, God made you to be all of this. When you look at a child, children aren't born shy or inhibited, but it happens. Satan's agenda goes directly against all of this. Satan would have you not trusting others. Satan would have you guarded. He would have you sad. He would have you closed. Satan would have you feeling afraid and ungifted. It's not hard to see that we'd rather be around this kind of person than this kind of person. Yet, what do we so often encounter? We encounter broken people in this world, don't we? We've all had wrong done to us. We've all done wrong. There's brokenness that pushes you this direction. And those are the places where we need God to come through. I'm not here to fix it on my own, but I think that too often, we have the approach that, well, dude, you're shut down. You're not talking. Talk, talk, talk. Tell me what's going on. Please, just open up. Share. Now's your chance. Go ahead. You got the microphone. Go ahead and share. It's your turn. Or we notice that somebody's afraid. We say, well, just get out and do it. Just conquer it. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Some of that is possible, but it's not always possible. There's a lot going on in this diagram, and I don't think we'll have time to unpack it completely tonight. But you have to start right up here. Please, if you could. God created these deep longings in your heart. God built you in a way that is uniquely you. And somewhere along the way, bad things happened. It may have been that uncle that smacked you when he shouldn't have. It may have been that grandfather that yelled at you. It may have been your mom that didn't have time for you when you were crying. It may have been your dad. And we end up with hurts, abuses, neglects. And so many times, this pool of pain, it exists deep within us. But we just assume not talk about it. But from that pain comes the lies, the vows. I will not trust. I must survive. I'm gonna make it. Now we want a quick fix. We want to move somebody directly from these defenses over here. These defenses come from the beliefs that we have. We want to move them straight to being healthy. But what I'd like to talk about this evening is the need to step backwards along these arrows and engage the person that you're sitting with on their issues of pain. To say, oh, come on, you can do it, is sometimes a bit simplistic. The fig leaves that we so often use, the defenses, they look like fig leaves. So, if we start there with the deep longings, do you remember the three longings that I listed at the beginning? A longing for belongingness, for worthiness, for competence. We want to believe that I am wanted, I count, I'm liked, I can do it, I'm adequate. Those are the things we need that truth. But sadly, pain enters the picture. Our brokenness, our sin, the sin done against us. And from that, we end up with feelings of, rather than I am wanted, we come up with I am worthless. I'm not important. I'm a failure. And from the lies that we believe about ourselves, well, then we come up with vows to figure out how we're going to take care of this. So if I believe I'm worthless, then, you know what, I don't really matter. I'm worthless anyway. My dad told me I'm trash. My mom agreed with him. The only way I can find any value is to go ahead and try to make everybody else happy. So I will serve. I will make sure that the house is spotless, that I'm always here on time, that I'm going to make sure I can do whatever I can. I'll sign up for every committee I can be on. I will make you want me. I will work so hard that you're going to somehow fill that void of worthlessness going on in me, because you'll say, thank you, Chad. You're just such a big help. But it's serving from a place of brokenness. I need you to say I did a good job. Otherwise, I feel inadequate or unworthy. Guys, personal. Friday evening was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Thanks for all of your participation. And a lot of you said, hey, Chad and Jenny, James and Kayla, that was great. Thanks for putting that together. Thank you. If that's what it takes to keep me floating, if that's what it takes to keep me all right with myself, then it's going to go from valley to valley to valley. Like, I'll always be looking for some way for you to say, oh, Chad, you're okay. It's broken. There's a lot of defenses, walls that come up as we cope with the vows that we make. Guys, I'll go over a couple of false fronts that are pretty common presenting issues. The busy front. Busyness never lets us think about life. If I can stay busy, I don't have to work on my pain and you don't have to know about it. So the flip side of that may be the poor me front. Have you been with anybody that just can't stop talking about themselves? Poor self-esteem says, I don't expect anything from me. I'm just actually pretty weak. It can be really unhandy to be with somebody that's always talking bad about themselves. But they need you to help put them back together. The poor me or the take care of me front, overdependence on others, expects them to handle us with special care. How about the talkative front? You've been around somebody that just talks. They just talk so much that you can't get a word in edgewise. They will take control of every conversation because as long as they're in control, then you're not, and they don't have to open up to what you want to ask them. The tough front. Tough and hard on the outside tells others that we don't need them. Because I drive rough and tough, and I am rough and tough, and I do wear boots because I will stomp on your toes if you get close to me. The shy front. Silent, avoids relationships by not giving thoughts or feelings. You know, if I can just kind of melt and be quiet here, you won't notice me and you won't dig in. How about the clown front? If you joke and laugh, you can hide your fears and insecurities. Sadly, a lot of the funny people that we know are carrying a lot of pain. How about the brain front? You ever meet somebody that knows everything? They offer their mind, but not their heart. Maybe the nice front. Pleases others, acts so nice so that others will love and accept us. I will always be nice. Because as long as I'm nice, then you'll like me. If I'm nice to you, then maybe you'll be nice to me and I can get some sense of validation out of that. Or the rescuing front. Rescue all those around them because everybody else is in need. I don't have any needs. I'm just here to save you. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about what you're going through because you need my help. Does any of this sound familiar? Not me personally, but I know a guy like that. Okay, well, let's talk about how to help that guy. These are verses that connect with who you really are in Christ. Now would be an appropriate time to pull out your phone and take a picture of the references so that you can look them up later. I don't think that we're going to go through each of these tonight. Who are you really? Are you unwanted? No. But these verses would be worth your time to study. I am a child of God. I am a new creature. I am rescued from the darkness. I am an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. I am healed by His wounds. I am an heir to the blessings of Abraham. I am a citizen of heaven. I am complete in Christ. And I'm a member of Christ's body. We are blessed. And we are blessed beyond compare. It's a message worth sharing. It's worth sharing well. So how do we share that? We just said, we know that guy or that girl that has all of these defense issues. But we know that the true message is this. What do I do? What do I do? As a church member that recognizes I have someone hurting beside me, I'm actually not expecting this evening's topic to make all of you want to pursue a master's degree in counseling and human services and to take the 10 courses available through NYP and to open an office and to hang out a shingle and to become a Christian counselor. That's not really what we're expecting here tonight. But I am hoping that by the time we get to 7 o'clock, we have a few more ideas of, oh, well, I could do that. I could help someone with that step. You should listen. You should ask questions. You should hear their stories and you should speak creative words of life. Because in truth, it's when you sit with someone that you allow them to stop working all of their defense mechanisms. But guys, sometimes when we have the opportunity, when we have this privilege of talking, when when somebody has taken their time or giving us their time to listen, it's hard to, now what do I say? How was it when your mother passed away? I was sad. What else did you feel? Mostly sad. And a little bit upset. Disappointed I was. But, you know, vocabulary is limited sometimes. We don't like to talk about our feelings, and so we don't. And the person we're sitting with doesn't like to talk about their feelings. And so I have some feeling word sheets here, and I want to increase our vocabulary. Can I get a little help passing these out? Yeah, Harold, do you mind? Logan, you mind helping out? Maybe make sure that all the adults get one, if you would. I have about 50 here. I think there's at least enough for all the families to get one. When I was working on learning Chinese, I worked with a speech coach. He said, in the English language, there are about 44 sounds between the consonants and the vowels. And so when you listen to another language, you tend to put those sounds into the box that you've got in your head. You relate it to something close. So in Chinese, there's an SH that sounds like sh, and an SH that sounds like s, and they're very different. S and sh sound about the same in English. Both of them you'd say, well, sh, right? But it's quite different. If I didn't have someone helping me to pop my 44 sound box a little bit bigger, I would have had a lot more trouble connecting with the phonemes available in Chinese. Have I run out? We can get some more copies if we need to. Harold, we may need to spread them out a little bit more. I'm sorry. Do you have one over here? Who has a sheet? You have one? Now, many of the words on this sheet are negative. But, Marcus, could you please read the first six words there that's in the first column?
Scared, lonely, confused, down, mean, disappointed.
Okay. Now, each of these words has a bit of a different meaning, and it may connect with something in your past. What I find helpful in sitting with somebody that's going through something is to give them a worksheet and say, could you sit with that for 5 minutes? Give them a pen. Say, go ahead and mark the words that apply to you. And if you don't have, if my words don't fit what you're feeling, then just write your own words over here on the side. And it's amazing what happens. There'll be circles and lines and big circles and stars and holes through the paper. But somehow I connect with this word unloved right now. Or tonight I connect with this word horrified. And I wouldn't have thought of the word horrified if I had been given the paper. So sometimes a resource like this can be helpful as you sit with someone to hear their stories. You know, when you're talking to somebody, the reality of what they're presenting is just the tip of the iceberg, right? I guess what you see. You saw that mom at the grocery store slap the child. And that wasn't the right thing to do. She shouldn't have done that. You didn't see that her car didn't start this morning, and it reminded her of the fact that her dad never kept her mom's car running, and he was passed out drunk on the floor at home most of the time in her childhood. And so she's carrying this pain of a childhood gone wrong, and now she had that access this morning because her car didn't start, and she's at the grocery store, and her child threw a fit, and she smacks the child. Not okay, but it's just the tip of the iceberg. What's really going on is that there's some behaviors and beliefs And way down here, she had some deep disappointment and longings. My prayer is that we can take this reality in, that we are here in a relationship, a counseling relationship, to help expose what's wrong deep down. There may be a need for repentance. There may be a need to take your pain to the cross. I'd like to read Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. If you want to go there, it'd be great. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Now, this is a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. Jesus came to this earth for your salvation, right? But he died for the wrongs that you have committed, but he also died and paid the price for all of the wrongs committed against you. It's not just what you've done, but it's also what's been done to you. It's not just what's been done by the person that you're sitting with, but what's been done to them. Let's start at verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus. For the things done by you, yes, yes, Jesus has paid the price for what you've done wrong. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. There is forgiveness at the cross. But it's not just that. Some of the choices that you make and the things that you've done wrong were directly connected to the things that were done wrong to you. Verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus Christ came to this earth for healing and to cover the things which you've done and the things which have been done to you. As you sit with someone, you can bring them back to that truth. Oops, let's go this way. I've made a pretty quick case, and it's been pretty quick moving. From people in pain to moving out of pain. The part of what I want to make sure I leave here tonight with is helping you as you sit with people who are in pain. So, I'm sorry if we're moving too quickly. We'll take it back apart later. I want to make sure that we don't miss this issue, that people's defenses, their wrong actions, often spring from wrong beliefs, which spring from a pool of pain. And that pain comes from hurts and abuses that connect directly to the longings in their heart that God placed there. So as you talk to someone and you're dealing with their wrong strategies, their defense mechanisms, it's not enough to say, well, actually, you should stop cheating on your income taxes and start being honest. That would be the right thing to do. there could be real reason to walk with them, ask some questions, and move them toward relationship with God in their healing journey. So how do you sit? How do you sit with someone? We aren't going to have time tonight to walk you through all seven skills of walking with someone. But I do want to hit some of these pieces here, if we could. Could I get Logan, can I have some volunteer help again? Could we pretend that we're listening, that I'm listening to your pain? Okay, so I need you to come on up. You have a chair here. And you can just go ahead and have a seat. Now, guys, this is not to put Logan in a counselor's office. That's not what's going on here. This is Logan at 5 Weeks Coffee. Or this is Logan in your living room. Okay, let's pretend it's not Logan. Let's say it's LaVon, but whatever. Okay? So, I've got some pieces up here. Good listening requires both skills and connection. So you can't do just, well, I really love you. I just really care. Let's connect. Huh? It doesn't always work out that way, right? It takes both skills and connection. So I have the acronym up there, SOLAR. You see that? I like to take that one apart. Face the client. Face the friend. Squarely. Now, I don't mean that you have to move your chair right here. Okay, now, you tell me what's going on inside there. Kind of intimidating, huh? Can see into your soul. Oh, back off, huh? Squarely simply means give them your full attention. Sometimes direct on can be more intimidating than what you want it to be. Sit with an open posture. You've done this, I'm sure, but tell me about it. Like, really, Logan, I can't imagine what it must be like to lose your wife and children like you did. How is that? Well, this posture doesn't communicate any kind of openness. Sorry, Lita, can you see up here? Stay open. Leave your hands up. Leave your shoulders relaxed. The L is lean toward the person you're talking to. Now, this is only, use this with moderation. Does it communicate, Logan, that I care about what you're going through and I'm just like this? Not really, right? But it can feel a bit intense if I'm always like this, can't it? Really? Oh, really? That's amazing! No. Lean, the L there is for lean, and that control your leaning, right? Make sure that you're aware of what your body language is saying. And the E up there in solar is for eye contact. And here again, this is something you need to be conscious of. If I never look at you when we're talking, well, then I'm not really talking to you, right? But on the flip side, if I look at you too intensely, it can make you shut down. You know your friends. And this is not about being a therapeutic professional. This is about being an involved friend. So consider making eye contact at least once every 30 seconds. But it may be to see him and then to give him space to look away. But do make consistent, routine eye contact. Feel fair? You following? All right. And the last R is please relax. Relax in the This is 2021. We know that word. We all relax. We can't be formal for anything, can we? Oh, yeah, we can. Try to relax. So, square up, know where you want to be in the room, open your posture, lean in when it's appropriate, use eye contact appropriately, and then relax. It's part of your posture in listening. Logan, you may return to your seat. Give him a hand, please. All right. Communication involves both verbal and nonverbal. You saw some of that going on over here. There's so much that can be communicated. Oh, whoops. There. So much that gets communicated nonverbally. I'm not asking you to be afraid of being yourself. But I am asking you to be aware that when you're sitting there with somebody and your eyes keep going closed because you were up till 2 a.m., it's going to communicate that you don't care about what the person's saying. Just know that. So get the cup of coffee or reschedule the meeting for a time when you can be awake. But your nonverbals really do matter. Verbal communication matters too. It's part of why I gave you the feeling word worksheet. Sharpen up your vocabulary. Be aware of what needs to be said and when it needs to be said. Good counseling requires connection with yourself. That may sound a little fruity, but it does require connection with yourself. You've got to be aware of what's going on in here. As I walk into a meeting with somebody, I have to take inventory of what I'm feeling. Otherwise, I have potential of misguiding or misdirecting the communication. It requires connection with the counselee. It's going to be really difficult for you as a counselor to take somebody down a journey that you're not willing to go down yourself. There are a couple of skills that I want to... We'll hit these kind of quickly. There's books that can be written on the skills of counseling. Look up Egan. It'd be worth your time. But listen to what the person says. Do listen to what they say. But you've got to listen beneath the words too. Check out why they're saying what they're saying. There's often more going on in the story than just what they bring to you. So be aware of the events and the emotions that they talk about. But also check out their behavior. When they're talking about their dad, do they look at the floor? When they're talking about the situation that happened last summer, do they fidget? Why? What's going on? Theory-guided questions may be connected to a counseling theory, but the questions that you're wanting to ask the person have to do much more with their relationship with God. That's what we're aiming for, right? We're Christians. We're in this together. You're here to draw them towards Jesus. You're not here to fix them yourself. Your job is also to discern the goals. If somebody comes to you talking about, you know, a problem that they're having at work with their foreman, it's just not going well. That may be all that they want to talk about. And if you as the friend know that the reason they're having trouble with this foreman is because they also had trouble with their dad, and you'd love to build that connection and make sure that they see it, and you want to say, you've got a problem submitting to authority, and that's what's going on here. Well, that's a difference in the goals of the counselor and the counselee. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying you've got to be aware of it. Make sure that you're helping them move where they are wanting to move, and make sure that you're helping them move toward a relationship with God. analyze what they're doing. Behavioral analysis has to do with more of a long-term relationship. You say that you want to do this, but you end up doing this. What happens? And help them see the discrepancies there. Oh, I preached last Sunday, and one of the I words that I gave was insight, right? You as a friend get to see things from an angle that they don't. Your job is to bring the scripture to bear where it's appropriate. Your job is to bring insight. But sadly, Mennonites, we hit this one with a gusto. Well, you just got to know better, and then you'll do better. No, actually, facilitate has much more to do with helping them to see the truth. Not preaching at them, not just, you don't just give truth academically. Don't recite verses and use the Bible like some kind of lucky charm. This is not your time to do a bunch of teaching. This is your time to bring the truth where it's appropriate and to help your friend discover how that fits into their story. This one takes a lot of prayer and fasting. It's worth remembering that your job is to facilitate, but not to control. And lastly, as a friend, you can provide direction. If you're aware of resources that they're not aware of. But this is skill number 7. It comes after you're deeply involved in the story. I think that way too often we like to give them a pill. Maybe it's a verse or an anecdotal bit of something that we saw in a motto that we had posted in our kitchen when we were growing up that just said this, and so this is what you should do. No, guys. It is your privilege as a friend to give insight and direction, but it comes after the steps above. Our job is to listen well and to care deeply. To shepherd and shoulder, to walk with, understanding that the men and the women that you interact with bring to you the tip of the iceberg, the presenting problem, but it represents a world of hurt that may require much, much more healing, both of the sins that they've committed and the sins committed against them. All right. Well, I see that I hit past the 7 o'clock mark, and I'll wrap it up there. But I want to leave us not feeling overwhelmed. I've chattered a bunch up here. I'm sorry, Tiffany. It's been a lot. It's not been all new material. A lot of it things that you've heard before. My prayer is that you are encouraged, not discouraged. That you are enabled to sit better and to walk more closely with people that are in pain. Because face it, you can look to your left, you can look to your right, but that person beside you has been through a lot of pain. And they're working their way through life with a limp. The reason we have this thing called community or church is so that we don't have to limp our way alone, right? We're here to walk with each other. My goal is to encourage us to walk with each other. It's not that you shouldn't send someone to a professional. It's a safe place to explore what's going on. But I hesitate to be real quick to send someone off to the professionals, because we just don't want to deal with the mess. Life's kind of messy. But you've been given each other. That's a mess right there in itself. You've been given each other. So let's link arms. Let's listen well, and let's care deeply for those that God has put on this journey with us. Because it's my goal to show up on that side of the judgment with all of this family in tow. You all matter to me immensely. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Calvary Chapel. Thank you for a group of people that cares about each other and that cares about a relationship with you. Father, I pray that you would guide us and teach us to care. Encourage us where we are weak and fill the longings as only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, that matters. And I don't want to miss that. The reason that we pay hundreds of dollars to go and sit in the office of a counselor that doesn't know us is because it feels safe. They sign agreements of confidentiality. They're going to keep what you say quiet. But it feels safe. And we do that because sometimes we really need that privacy. But ladies and gentlemen, when someone trusts you with their story, they're trusting you with their story. It is not a prayer request. It is not something to put on the Calvary Chapel hotline. It is not something to share with your friend. You're given a gift, but it's meant to be kept safe, right? Now, in the state of Michigan, as in the state of Indiana, there are things that you are mandated to tell law enforcement. So when I sit with someone, we start out with the fact that what you say here will be kept in confidentiality. If you demonstrate plans or the ability, volition to hurt yourself or others, I will need your permission to alert those that can help you more. Also, if there are state violations, I will need to let law enforcement know. So there are some limits to confidentiality, but it's incredibly important that someone talking to you can trust you, that you can trust you to keep it with you. I don't want to be gender specific here, but well, I'll just skip. Guys and ladies, please keep it to you. Harold, is there more that you want to say on that one? As opposed to what?
If I hear you talking about your brother in a group and saying derogatory things about him, then I'm going to assume that when I'm not in the group, you're going to say derogatory things about me.
Well, it just goes that way, right?
And so the atmosphere is not safe.
Right.
cannot be a relationship counseling helping each other when there is not a safe atmosphere happening.
If we as a church spend time tearing each other down or making fun of each other, it does not foster an environment where you want to talk to either your leadership or your brother. It's just not that way. No, it's true. Truth. You've been working with people longer than I have. It's so true. And what is it that we say or that we do about the people around us? Do we tear them down? Do we build them up? Other comments, thoughts, questions? All right. Dana, you want to wrap it up tonight? Or is that, we're good? Okay. Well, thank you all for your time. It's a conversation that actually needs to keep on happening. I do want to take a moment to say how thankful I am to be a part of this brotherhood. You all are pretty special, and we claim you quite proudly. And that's a southern way of saying it's just a good thing, right? Thank you all for being our safe place. All right. You are dismissed.